This is Radio Stockdale.
Welcome to Radio Stockdale. I'm your host, Michael Sears, at the Stockdale Center for Ethical Leadership. On our podcast, we're happy to welcome back a true leader in the field of ethical leadership, currently directing the Vice Admiral James B. Stockdale Center for Ethical Leadership at the Naval Academy. He brings a wealth of experience and insight from his career as a Marine officer and as a professor of leadership education. He helmed the Major General John A. Lejeune Leadership Institute at the Marine Corps University in Quantico, Virginia. From an academic perspective, he's touched the University of Notre Dame, the University of Maryland, George Washington University, and the National Outdoor Leadership School, to name a few. He's published 6 books, with the latest, Cross-Cultural Competence for Leaders, providing insights into leadership in a globalized context. Beyond the classroom, he has actively supported student research leading to awards like the Rhodes, Mitchell, and Fulbright scholarships. His passion for cultural understanding has taken him and his students on immersive expeditions across the globe, from South Africa to Mongolia, from Peru to Papua New Guinea. He holds a master's degree from the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University and the U.S. Army War College, along with a Ph.D. from George Mason University. He is also a graduate of the Harvard Kennedy School's Nonprofit Leadership Program and the Brookings Institute's Public Leadership Course. I'll stop there. Welcome back to Radio Stockdale, Dr. Joe Thomas.
Well, thanks very much, Michael. That's a very kind introduction. I appreciate that and look forward to another engaging conversation with you.
Joe, with this episode, we'll be talking about AI at the crossroads of philosophy, mainly, though, Greek philosophers, the big three, Socrates, his student Plato, and his student Aristotle. The whole point of this is, what would the Greeks have to say about AI and R, or better yet, in their lives? So let me start off. Can you start by explaining how classical Greek philosophy might be applied to today's AI technologies? For instance, how would the emphasis on virtue and the good life translate into the development and use of artificial intelligence?
That's a really interesting place to start, because the classical Greek period of philosophy, of course, is in the 5th century BCE. So in that sense, it's impossible to know what they would have made of the current use of artificial intelligence and development and movement in this space. But it's fun to speculate. So let's do just that. And maybe I ought to start with just my own bias in this regard. When it comes to conversations about artificial intelligence in this moment, there's oftentimes two camps, two almost polar opposites in how they approach the future as it regards artificial intelligence. In one camp are, we can call them maybe the techno-pessimists, those who feel that artificial intelligence is almost exclusively a negative, that somehow it represents an existential threat, and there's aspects that are very well true, but the conversation begins and ends with only the perils of artificial intelligence. On the other extreme end of the spectrum from this are complete techno-optimists, folks who believe that artificial intelligence is going to usher in this new era that's a panacea for human flourishing and so on. And I think both camps at these extremes are ill-informed. There's reasons people fall into those camps. I'd like to think most people I fall somewhere in between, but this is where my bias comes in. I am certainly more biased toward techno-optimism. I believe in the promise of this technology in the near-term application of artificial intelligence, augmented reality, and so on, than I do the perils. I thoroughly want to explore, because that's what the Stockdale Center for Ethical Leadership should do, explore the perils, understand where the guardrails should be, but I lean toward optimism. I think it's important to state that up front. It'll help the listener understand at least what shapes my thinking on this. So it's in that vein that I do believe Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, those that you mentioned, they would be a little more optimistic about this as well. I think they would tend more toward that.
Let's go with Socrates for a second. Yeah. So, I mean, he's renowned for a method of questioning, the Socratic method, achieving a deeper understanding. Yes. How could Socratic questioning influence the way AI systems make decisions, and especially around a morally complex situation?
Sure, sure. We can actually put a finger on the birth of the so-called classical Greek philosophy, the birth of this way of thinking, which separates ancient Greek philosophy from classical Greek philosophy. And that's the point at which Socrates visits the oracle at Delphi and very, very famously asks the question, asks several questions of the oracle. And the oracle comes back with this idea that Socrates is the wisest of all men. And Socrates famously responds, "One thing only I know, and that is that I know nothing." What we have then is, from that point forward, in essence, the personal journey of Socrates to found Western philosophy is a journey characterized by self-awareness, humility, and intellectual honesty. He has this eye toward questioning wherever he can, whomever he can, to kind of test the statement that Socrates is the wisest of all men. And you know, his response to that and his journey becomes one of finding out, looking for people who know more than he does. So talk about a little anecdote, a historical anecdote that can inspire us in terms of how we think about the use of artificial intelligence. The algorithm itself that underlies generative artificial intelligence isn't wisdom, it's factual information. And therefore, it's our role, using self-awareness, humility, intellectual curiosity, and honesty, it's our role to draw from it as much as we can, fully understanding that there's a limitation to what it's providing us. It's just factual information. It's not wisdom. Wisdom calls forth experience and a bigger picture understanding of the good that is going to come from this information and all of that. And I think in morally complex situations that you refer to, in decisions that have to be made in that, AI as a tool, and I do view artificial intelligence as a mere tool in many ways, it's got great limitations. We should use the tool to its fullest. We should develop this tool to the fullest, but always keep in mind its limitations.
A great start here, and given Socrates' belief in the value of seeking that knowledge, yep, of the factual information as a pathway to virtue, how might the principles apply to the creation of AI systems that we're working on right now as we learn and evolve? For instance, how can developers ensure that AI's pursuit of knowledge aligns with ethical principles?
Sure. I think the developers of artificial intelligence algorithms, those who build generative AI, need to absolutely keep the end user in mind. And the end user of AI programs oftentimes are looking for mere shortcuts or something to confirm their existing beliefs, right? So in that sense, if you know what the user is coming to the table with, you have to be really, really careful about how you develop your offerings, these context offerings to people who are looking for just that. And of all the biases, I suppose, that I am most concerned with, it's on that second point, that people are coming to confirm their existing beliefs. This idea of confirmation bias and doubling down, tripling down and further on deeply held beliefs to that point is going to prevent us from having those human conversations, those everyday compromises in our personal and professional lives, political lives for that matter. It's going to make these things more and more difficult if AI simply feeds confirmation bias. So I think the developers of these systems need to keep that in mind, not necessarily first and foremost, but it ranks up there with the most important things in the development of this technology.
Plato introduces the four cardinal virtues of wisdom, courage, justice, and temperance, and Aristotle explains how to make them practical in the context of AI. How can these virtues be integrated into the design and operational principles of AI systems to ensure they contribute positively to society?
Well, generative AI is only as good as the data on which it's trained. And so, therefore, if there's garbage in, you're going to get garbage out of this. And it's a very, very heavy lift to ensure that those data sets upon which this generative AI is built has really good information. So I love that you've honed in on the classical Greeks in this sense, Michael, because if we can somehow capture this wisdom, there's a reason we're still reading these classical Greek philosophers 2,500 years later, right? They captured at their essence certain fundamental truths about human flourishing and what it means to be excellent. In fact, that's why we refer to this broader school of philosophy as aretaic philosophy, from the Greek term arete, or excellence. How to be an excellent person, how to thrive, how to flourish in life. And in that sense, my hope is that, you know, Aristotle, as you mentioned, the Nicomachean Ethics, is found in these data sets and prioritized, emphasized in these large data sets. Because after all, this pursuit of excellence and the practice of virtue, the habituation of virtue and understanding virtue, cardinal virtues included, if the algorithms are built around that, if the information we're drawing upon is influenced by that, then we're not going to suffer from the garbage in, garbage out, and all those challenges that we've talked about of somehow feeding confirmation bias or just feeding folks who want to take a mere shortcut. We're going to drive people to ask deeper questions. We're going to drive people to be more self-aware, more reflective, humble, intellectually curious, intellectually honest in all of this. I think that goal is a very lofty goal, and it's going to take some time to get there. We're still fairly recently emerged from an AI winter, as it's called, right? It's only been a short period of time since ChatGPT introduced its 3.5 and ultimately ChatGPT 4, and it's in this period of great excitement. You know, we're kind of still in that peak of inflated expectation stage of the hype cycle in regard to generative AI. We need to ensure that we kind of move toward useful productivity in the diffusion of this technology, especially for stakeholders here at the Naval Academy. And in so many ways, that's so central to our role here as a think tank internal to the Naval Academy, to ensure that this technological diffusion moves quickly through the hype cycle and gets to a point where we're more comfortable, we're using this more productively, and ultimately we're using these tools more ethically.
Joe, I like the fact that we're talking about the hype cycle right now. Let's go back in the past, not as far back as Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, but I mean, one of the technological innovations that supposedly was going to change the world, and I guess it really did, was Gutenberg's movable press. How do you fit that in? And what I'm getting at here is, all right, so all of a sudden monks were put out of business. There was a lot of resistance to that. How do you plan to, at the Naval Academy and beyond, move through that hype cycle so that we can get those folks who aren't believers or are negative believers to jump aboard this thing rationally, logically going forward? What are you doing about
it? This is a really challenging concept, Michael. As you mentioned, going back to Gutenberg's press, and we could throw in almost every major technological innovation in the period since. There's been periods of doomsayers predicting that this is somehow going to fundamentally shift society. It's going to be, imperil humanity and things like this. You always hear this type of language. And in fairness, aspects of that concern tend to come true. Very famously, when when the automobile comes into broad use, of course, those who made saddles and carriages and so on, or bred horses for that matter, their jobs were imperiled. But I think we'd all agree that technologies like that are, well, in part inevitable, and certainly in part very, very positive in aggregate over the long run. So ensuring that people understand the promise as well as the peril, and doing our job, I think, here at the Stockdale Center, we really have to put both things on the table. There are so many people who are critical of this optimistic approach to the coming wave represented by artificial intelligence. They think or actually assume that a center for ethical leadership is only going to take the approach of preaching about constraints and talking about guardrails that are put on this. And I tell people often that, yeah, that's a big part of our job. We are certainly thinking about that. We've got a bench of high talented people here thinking about the philosophical aspects of this from the constraints perspective. But I don't want to get mired in that worldview alone. I want to ensure that we're also understanding that there's a pretty considerable cost associated with not embracing this technology. And I'm not talking only about, well, the competition is all in on artificial intelligence. If you think about our geopolitical competitors out there, there's much written about how they are going, you know, full bore into the development of artificial intelligence. And that may be true, but that's not why we really need to at least entertain the notion that this is going to be important. I think the promise of artificial intelligence is it's going to make us better problem solvers. There are all sorts of long-term vexing challenges, sometimes associated with medical technology. There are certainly war fighting, kind of societal issues that have to do with politics and so on, that I don't think will necessarily be solved by artificial intelligence, at least in the short term, but they can be addressed. I think the promise in some ways outweighs the peril, at least in the sense that we need to move forward smartly on this, and we need to ensure that we understand how it's going to make us as human beings better decision makers and better problem solvers.
Dr. Joe Thomas, the director of the Stockdale Center for Ethical Leadership at the Naval Academy. Joe, thanks for joining us once again on Radio Stockdale.
My pleasure, Michael. And thanks for doing what you do in making a lot of these concepts understood and broadcasting them widely to all of the folks that are tied in here to the Stockdale Center, the Naval Academy, and beyond.
You've been listening to Radio Stockdale, a series of podcasts produced by the Stockdale Center for Ethical Leadership at the United States Naval Academy. You can hear more podcasts at stockdalecenter.com/podcasts.